You can support the ministry of Bob Enyart Live by subscribing to Bob's monthly Bible studies, monthly videos, monthly sermons, or monthly classic TV shows at kgovstore.com. You can also support the show and make a monthly or one-time donation by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, we have another phone call today from a pro-abortion woman. This time it's Kathleen from New York. She's a nurse, and she is one of the many pro-aborts around the country and some from other countries who are calling a list of phone numbers, and this is organized by a pro-abortion website. And they're asking people to call these pro-lifers and ask them to stop harassing women at abortion clinics. And it's so fun. We talked about this yesterday with Ken Scott. We played a call from a guy, Fred, yesterday here on Bob Enyart Live. And so today we're going to play another call from Kathleen. But it's so fun because these pro-aborts are being asked to call some of the most active pro-lifers in the world. And so many conversations have been taking place in the last few days, and many really good conversations. So I've only had two that we have been able to record because I happened to be sitting at the studio when the calls came in. So we aired the first yesterday. Now we'll air this one. And then at the end of this call with Kathleen, I'll ask Scott Evans to join us because he had a fascinating call with a pro-abort. So let's go to Kathleen's call. Hello, Kathleen.
Hello, Mr. Enyart.
Howdy. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm just calling to let you know that there is a new organization that is only about 6 weeks old.
Right.
And we already have 3,000 members. Mm. And we're tired of the harassment.
Oh.
That people like yourself put up to patients and providers at abortion clinics. We're going to be letting you know we feel, and you know that we know where you live. Oh. We know where you work.
Would you like to, Kathleen? You're welcome. We could meet maybe for breakfast, coffee. I bring my wife, of course.
I'm in New York.
Oh, you are. Well, I get through there now and then. If you'd like, I could send you an email when I'm going to, I don't know if you're in the city or not.
No, I'm about 75 miles outside of the city.
Kathleen, why do you think that there are people who oppose abortion?
I think it's a moral stance that is taken to really extreme positions.
All right, but why do people oppose it? Because there are a lot of surveys, you know, and men are pro-abortion, as are many women. Men are more pro-abortion than women are. Men are more pro-choice.
Why you should say that, Mr. Enyart, because on the list of phone numbers that I was given by this new organization, it's almost all men.
Maybe that's because that's who they chose. National surveys, it's Kathleen, right? National surveys, I mean, this is for decades and consistent. Men are strongly pro-choice, more so than women. And one reason is because men don't carry a baby. They don't typically bond with the baby when the baby's in their womb. And many women would be offended.
Yeah, men typically don't bond with anything in their womb.
What's that?
I said, yeah, men typically don't bond with anything in their
womb. Right,
whereas
women do. And so that's one of the reasons why men poll way more pro-choice than women do, because women have more of a natural affinity and love for the child in their womb that millions have carried. I don't know if you've ever carried a child, but
No, Mr. Enyart, I haven't. I have participated in the delivery of thousands and thousands of them.
Wow.
I am a labor and delivery nurse.
Wow. That's neat. So you're aware of the fact that many women intuitively recognize the baby in their womb, and they actually love the child. And the child is born even...
I am aware that many women do. I am also aware, Mr. Enyart, having been up close and personal with this issue for many, many years, that many women don't.
Well, sure. There are men and women who hate...
circumstances under which they just can't deal with it now. And, you know...
Well, there are many men and women who have killed one another, who have killed children. We understand that. Kathleen, I was talking about the reason why women are more pro-life than men are. Based on every survey I've ever seen, men prefer, and it's rough to speak in generalities, but if a man could have sex with a woman and then get rid of her, discard her when he no longer needs her, and if she's pregnant, throw some money at her to Planned Parenthood and take care of the problem and walk away, abortion is pretty appealing to a lot of men who victimize women and use them.
Yeah, and you'll get no argument with me there. What's the point?
Well, the point is that women are more pro-life than men for some reason,
not for no reason. Point? Again, what's the point?
It's because
how is that in defense of you going out and harassing people who are doing nothing to break the laws of the United States?
Okay, I could answer that. The reason I was talking about women who bond with their child in the womb is to say that the child in the womb is a child, and to kill that child is unjust. And if we understood it, we'd see it's even cruel to the mother. The mother who kills her own child is harming herself irreparably. And of
course, Mr. Enyart, I don't disagree with you that abortions should be rare.
Why? Why should they be rare? What's the difference?
Well, because it is an unpleasant business, and birth control is easily available, but not if we go to the extremes and shut down all the Planned Parenthood clinics, for instance. Because the logical conclusion of that is that we will be up to our hips in unwanted children, which we have enough of and do a very very, very poor job of taking care of as it is.
If you know of a baby, Kathleen, if you know of a baby that no one wants, my wife Cheryl and I, we will love that baby. We will take care of that baby. I imagine you would too if you knew of a baby that no one would love. I imagine you would, and we would also.
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't? I would, and every pro-lifer I know would.
Then how come... Then how come the social service programs in every state are absolutely inundated with kids that nobody wants?
We have empire building where they make it so difficult for a family to adopt a child that we end up with thousands of children in foster homes. If they would simply make it easy for loving families to adopt children, you would find out that babies are wanted, including babies who have Down syndrome and babies who are handicapped, babies who are blacks. All the pro-lifers I know love black children, love children who are handicapped, and we don't say you should kill them.
And you've all got houses full of them?
Of course not, but I didn't have any Jews or slaves, but I was enough of a human being to say it's wrong to kill a Jew, even if I can't house them all.
That is totally illogical. Now, if you had a house full of kids who you had liberated from social service, and sir, if you really were so morally on a crusade about providing good lives for these unwanted children, you wouldn't hide between the nicety of the legal difficulties of adoption versus foster care.
It costs tens of thousands of dollars to adopt children. Social that's services that, makes
from,
it extremely.
Not from social services.
They it make it easy to nope. abort the child and difficult
Sir,
to adopt the
child. That is a complete fallacy. That is a complete fallacy.
That it costs tens of thousands.
It costs absolutely next to nothing to adopt an unwanted child from social services.
Well, you even thought that abortion was not legal, Kathleen, and you're a medical professional. I'm sure you're aware of Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton, both handed down by the U.S. Supreme Court on the same day. And I'm sure you are aware of the distinctions between the two. And Roe v. Wade held that in the first couple trimesters, states cannot prohibit abortion. In the third trimester, they could regulate it, but they can't prohibit it for health, including mental health. And so in Colorado, as in a number of other states, abortion is legal through all 9 months. And so when you are making declarations
Sir,
that
you care
I'm
to
ignorant.
Explain to me how one aborts a baby at, you know, I mean, after the age
of. Since I have the abortion practice textbook written by Warren Hearn.
No, we're talking.
I can tell you how they abort a child in the third trimester. I could explain it to you. You
go ahead,
should
explain it to me.
Okay, he advocates using a drug called digoxin. Am I pronouncing that right? I'm not a nurse or a doctor.
Or digoxin.
Digoxin. And you put the baby on ultrasound, and you take the digoxin in a needle, and you work the needle into the fetus's cardiosac.
I get where you're going with this. Well, and you know something? I would agree with you completely that if that baby was over 24 weeks, that would be murder.
Well, Planned Parenthood then advocates murder from your judgment.
No, Planned Parenthood does not
they
advocate
advocate that. Abortion, legal abortion, through all 9 months.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Well, where have they ever opposed abortion in Colorado or in all the states or Doe v. Bolton that said abortion needs to be legal through all 9 months for life or health? Where have they ever opposed that? They haven't.
Well, see,
Kathleen.
I've never actually heard anybody advocating that before. And as I was telling Connie, working here in New York, occasionally where abortion is legal up to 20 weeks, after that, it is illegal under any circumstances. Occasionally, very, very occasionally, the hospital that I worked at sent somebody to Kansas where abortion was legal up to 24 weeks.
In Wichita, and we've been there, we have photographs of a baby killed, photographs authorized by George Tiller, and given to us by the parents of their precious little baby that they killed, a perfectly healthy baby, late-term baby, killed by George Tiller.
Up to 24 weeks. That's as far as George Tiller was going. And, you know, I used to, when George Tiller was killed, when the news came on that night, I said to myself, you know, the news flash was abortion killer in abortionist, late-term abortion provider in Kansas murdered. And I said, oh, that's George Tiller. They finally got him. It doesn't surprise me because I had always thought that the Kansas law was surprising considering where it is. And I always thought it was extreme to allow up to 24 weeks. But then in the subsequent weeks, I started hearing more and more about what Dr. Tiller's actual, the vast majority of his actual practice was. And it was abused teenage girls from, mostly from deep southern states, who were out of options and had denied their pregnancy to themselves and their families. And it put a little bit of a different light on things. We have in this country, all kinds of problems, many of which stem from the fact that while we require people to obtain licenses to get married and drive cars and do all kinds of other things, we put no restrictions on parenting. And that has created all kinds of people who maybe shouldn't be here.
Kathleen, I think it's a pretty cruel and elitist thing for you to say, talk about people who shouldn't be here.
Let's see. Do you think the world would have been a better place if, for instance, Charles Manson's mother had decided to have an abortion instead of having him and selling him for a pitcher of beer?
Well, maybe they could have killed him when he was 2 years old. Maybe the world would be a better place if you figure out if a two-year-old child, a toddler, looks like he's antisocial and maybe kill him. Humanity has tried these things, Kathleen, and they've been shown to be atrocious cruelties, crimes against humanity. You know, the famous abortionist who developed the partial birth abortion technique, Martin Haskell.
When that was flying around the news, in all my years of practice, when that hit the news, I was talking to dozens of OBGYNs. None of us knew what that was.
Well, Martin Haskell has published in the American Medical News. He testified to Congress. He was friends with George Tiller. And the American Medical News reported that 80% of his partial birth abortions, and this is the kind that you say is murder.
What's the American Medical News? Again, something else I've never heard of. The American Medical News. What is that?
It's from the American Medical Association. It's their newsletter. He told the American Medical News that he told them that 80% of his abortions were purely elective. His words, in quotes, purely elective. When you're not even aware that they do late-term abortions, you're not aware that Planned Parenthood,
who
you support...
No, my point is that they support, are so rare.
Wait a second. You were not aware that they even do third trimester abortions. You were not aware that Planned Parenthood advocates abortion being legal through all 9 months, which you call the murder of a child. I'm telling you, one of the leading late-term abortionists said that 80% of his partial birth abortions are purely elective. This is routine. Warren Hearn up in Boulder charges $30,000 to kill a late-term baby. We know because Blue Cross and Blue Shield, a worker there, sends us the invoices when they pay for a late-term abortion by Warren Hearn. He charges now, he's up to $30,000 to kill a baby, you know, a six-month-old baby. And if you read his writings and read his textbook where he talks about the act of dismemberment is undeniable, and the abortionist feels the baby's bones as he's cutting through the baby's body and killing the body. And these late-term abortionists, they kill babies if the boyfriend's left and the woman doesn't want the baby. They kill these babies. And for $30,000, it's hard for them to turn it down. Well, and you should see his house.
Are you... But is this what you're protesting, or are you just protesting? I would have no problem with you protesting that. But
yes,
my understanding.
No, I don't believe
you,
Kathleen.
You are...
Kathleen, I don't believe you because you defend Planned Parenthood, and I assert that you don't care that they support killing these babies up to moments before they're born. I assert that you don't care, and you'll say that you do to try to win the argument. But you don't care. You don't care that Barack Obama opposed the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. He fought against it in Illinois, where babies who were born alive, who were intended to be aborted, were being put in a storage closet to die. And so a nurse at Christ Hospital, Jill Stanek, said, we have to save these babies. They're not only late term, they were not killed by the abortion. They're alive. Some of these women I have interviewed who have survived their abortions. And Barack Obama voted against the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, preferring that the abortionist be allowed to kill the baby after it's out of the mother's womb. And I assert that you don't care. And if
well,
you say
you're
you
mistaken.
Do, if you
you're
say...
mistaken.
Okay, well, would you make a public statement on my show tomorrow or anytime this next week, rebuking Planned Parenthood and Barack Obama for even advocating killing these late-term babies.
No, I'm not going to go on the radio simply because that idea just... Ugh. You can understand that not all of us want to go on the radio.
Some
I know
people
it's
end
strange
up there,
in
whether
modern
they
America
want
to talk to somebody who doesn't want to go on the radio and really doesn't want to go on TV. But I think you can understand that, right?
Okay, so could you issue a written statement in your name? You must have a website or something.
No, I don't.
All right, in your name, with your title, rebuking Planned Parenthood and Barack Obama for not fighting to save these children in the third trimester. Would you do that this week?
No.
No, because I'm right. I assert that you don't care that they murder children.
No, you are you are being manipulative. Would you issue a statement saying that you will agree to uphold the laws of the United States?
Of course not. Only a fool would do that. As a universal statement.
A fool and everyone who's ever served in the United States military.
Only a fool would do that as a universal statement where countries have allowed slave trading, slave owners to hold black people, Jews to be killed, judges to rule in Germany that a Jewish man is killed because he's hoarding eggs. So when the law is unjust, only a fool would say, I will uphold the law regardless. Wouldn't you disobey the law if they told you to kill this Jewish child? Wouldn't you disobey that law?
Of course.
So would I. And thank you for saying of course.
Let's see. I just Googled abortion law in Colorado. Okay. I'm not seeing anything.
In American Medical News, you've confirmed, I imagine, that's a publication of the AMA.
Uh-huh.
When you Google it in quotes, you get about 400,000 pages, and it's linked to from their websites.
Let's see. Child born or within the first continuation of pregnancy likely to result in death or permanent physical or mental impairment of mother, or child born with grave mental or physical retardation, or within first 16 weeks of pregnancy.
You're going back to laws from 40 years ago. These are irrelevant. In Colorado today, Roe v. Wade superseded all of our laws prior to the mid-1990s. And Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton establish a trimester system for when an abortionist could kill the baby. And the states are not allowed by Roe v. Wade to prohibit abortion in the early months. In the later months, they say the states can prohibit abortion for reasonable reasons, but they have to permit it for health and life and so on.
Right. I mean, you've heard of the term preeclampsia, haven't you?
Yes, sure. My dear friend had it, and I was at the hospital when her baby was born, who fit in her father's hand. So, yes.
Okay, so then it's 22, it's a 22-week pregnancy. Mom's blood pressure is 220 over 120. Her kidneys...
Yeah, mom's going to die.
...are shutting down.
Right.
So what do you do then?
You deliver the baby, you care for the mom, but you don't do like with, say, a partial birth abortion. Right, but let me make this point. You're a nurse, so I understand your point, but maybe you could understand my point. You don't stop.
Okay, so you have just essentially said that abortion under those circumstances, because at 22 weeks, if you induce labor, you are ipso facto
doing a termination. Kathleen, I know you'll let me finish the sentence, and then you'll hear my point. You don't stop caring for the mother long enough to kill the baby. Okay, abortion for the life of the mother says your intention is to kill the baby. So with a partial birth abortion, when Bill Clinton vetoed the partial birth abortion ban, He said, for the life of the mother. Well, if the mother is dying, then the treatment is to deliver the baby. That's the treatment when the pregnancy is causing the mother to die. So you would not stop after you delivered the baby, breech no less, up to the neck. You wouldn't stop caring for the mother long enough to put a knife into the baby's neck and kill the baby. You would deliver the baby. So that's Kathleen's call. This is Bob and Yart. We're live, and then our recording stopped. So as promised, we have Scott from Longmont on. Scott, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hey, thanks, Bob. We started getting all these phone calls, and I heard some of the voicemails, and I'm like, wow, we're getting, something's going on around the country. I said, what a great opportunity to talk to some people who are pro-abortion and probably atheists or something like that.
Yeah.
And, tell them about Jesus, you know?
Yeah, Scott, it
praise
really is. I mean, we're Christians. The vast majority of personhood people I know are Christians. We want to evangelize. We want to tell people about Jesus Christ, that God made us. And so what a great opportunity. They're calling us.
I think they're kind of taken aback by that, I would guess. They probably expected us to act like maybe they would and cower and not answer the phone or turn our phones off or whatever, or yell and scream and tell them to stop calling us. But that didn't happen at all, as far as I can tell from anybody.
Well, Scott, my wife, Cheryl, I said, Cheryl, do you want to turn off your phone? She said, no way. I want to talk to these people.
That's funny you say that, because I got a call. The phone rang again after I talked to somebody briefly, and Debbie goes, let me answer it.
Yeah, your wife. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, she talked to him.
So, Scott, we only have another minute or so. Could you tell us about a call that you've had? Just describe one of them.
Yeah, one was pretty remarkable, from a young man named Chris, who just started out that, you know, it's wrong to harass people. And, you know, I kind of pointed out to him that he was really doing the same thing to me, and he actually admitted he was being hypocritical.
And that sounds like Fred yesterday. Fred was an atheist. I'm probably the only creationist he's ever had a conversation with. He said he's going to tune into Real Science Friday, which is great. And he said you should stop telling people what to do. I said, Fred, that's what you're doing to me.
Right.
But they can't process. It's like they can't think, Scott.
Yeah, and that's what it is when you get to talking to them more and more, that it's so easy to refute everything that they say. It's actually fun. And it truly is fun. And
yeah.
So with Chris, we got around to he actually admitted we have a lousy justice system, but we got around to the death penalty, and how he actually told me he read through the Bible, even though he's an atheist. And I asked him about the part where God ushered in the death penalty with Noah and his family. He said he didn't remember that. He said we should be all forgiving like Jesus was, and I mentioned Luke 19:27 and Matthew 21:44 to him.
Wow, places where Jesus
said
didn't forgive, where he was rather harsh and confrontational.
Yes, and he says, I don't remember reading that either. I said, well, I'm inviting you to read it and find out who Jesus really was. So we definitely got around to
Scott,
talking about him.
Yeah, some of these pro-aborts are saying, you're against abortion, I bet you're for the death penalty. And Daryl Burkey had a great one yesterday, and he said to him, look, you know the difference between innocent and guilt, don't you? The innocent and the guilty. So you punish the guilty and protect the innocent. And these people have never thought of these basic concepts.
Yeah, I said, why would we want to be nice to us? I said, what if somebody, you know, tragically, you know, murdered your child and, you know, maybe tortured them for a while or something? I said, you would want them to have the death penalty, correct? And he goes, no, I wouldn't. The death penalty is wrong under all circumstances. So that didn't even work with him with that example.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people are against the death penalty partly because they're in rebellion against God. But
right
the
on.
New Testament, there's the music. We're out of time. Thank
All
you,
right.
Scott, for taking those calls.
You're welcome.
The New Testament, Jesus Christ and the apostles affirm the death penalty over and over in the New Testament. Just go to kgov.com or Google God and the death penalty. You'll find us right at the top. May God bless you.
You can support the ministry of Bob and Yart Live by subscribing to Bob's monthly Bible studies, monthly videos, monthly sermons, or monthly classic TV shows at kgovstore.com. You can also support the show and make a monthly or one-time donation by calling 1-800-8-NYART or at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.